Good morning, everybody. It's Saturday, day 34 of the 49 days practice. Today is called Morning Rituals and Intimacy, which brings some fun images to mind. What we're going to start with is just a natural, nice, deep breath. And we're going to bring our attention back to the experience of filling our egg, just because we want to stretch out those muscles a bit. The thing that we're going to be playing with that's a bit new is what we call melting body. And we're going to just get some sort of sense of the theme because we're going to be wanting to do that more when we're standing up. But melting body, the easiest way to get into it is actually to feel like you're kelp and you live at the bottom of the ocean. And it's the ocean that actually moves you around, and not only just sort of left and right, but vertebrae by vertebrae, joint by joint, eyeball by eyeball, so that you have a really wandering, free association of movement and relaxation and direction. Because otherwise we end up trying to formally imitate something. So it's really to just be completely in the kelp, and we'll come back to that in a minute. So today's conversation is about morning rituals and intimacy. And the thing that has the most social street cred right now is the idea of morning rituals, because pretty much anyone out there who's being very effective in the world will say, my life changed when I started waking up and doing very different things. And I'll speak to that very quickly. Keep filling your egg with your breath and being good little kelps. Your body is either in a state of neuroplasticity, learning, growth, adaptation, excitement, passion, curiosity, or it's doing the day-to-day humdrum. And every day when you wake up, there's a part of your brain which is what's new, because it's a new day. And if you get up in the first 20 minutes, and especially the first 20 minutes, are really, really the same procedure. I get up, I go to the bathroom, I go to the kitchen, I go to the, and around and around and around. Even doing the same thing that simply will slow down a part of your brain. And even by doing those things backwards, you'll actually speed up a part of your brain. And the more you can actually make your morning about always pushing a little limit or doing something a little different, when you wake up, your brain will turn on new day, learn new things, be smarter, be more agile, be more connected. Because the opposite is what most people experience, is we wake up, we go into our world with the same daily morning process, and much more importantly, the same daily story, the same narrative, the same complaints, the same associations. And your brain literally wants to hibernate when it has more than a few days the same in a row. So just throwing that out there, the most successful people in the world, in whatever way they're successful, all say, the biggest change in my life was when I started making a morning ritual a part of my life. And that ritual has to always push a boundary or change something, frequently enough to keep it interesting. And that's why we're doing those cold showers. And actually, I just learned this recently. If you play music that you really enjoyed as an adolescent, as you were coming into your new self, your brain also sort of wakes up and says, hey, I remember feeling that association of connection and passion in play. So just wanted to bring that up. And also, that's a big part of this 49 days, which is why we keep shifting perceptions a little bit, is to keep the newness of the practice a part of the practice. And I would say, in fact, the newness really is the practice, because if I can trick people, if I can trick people into revamping their neuroplasticity that much over that much time, you will literally change the physiology and the aging process in your brain, which is your whole being. So just wanted to bring that up and maybe say that another way. We're training for adaptability. So the more we can actually participate by doing things new and different, the more adaptable we're going to be. Okay, so let's go a little bit more into our yin and yang breathing. And when we do the elevator down on the front, so now we're tilting our head back a little bit and feeling the sunlight with your eyes open or closed, coming through your pupils, your face, your heart, your gut, softening your spine and kind of wagging your tail. So that's the more yin aspect. And now as we do that, we're going to focus on the kelp. So we'll come back to details in a moment. So if we inhale into the kelpy yin aspect of ourself, when we exhale, we want to play with the Qigong practice we learned yesterday, which it would be the old wise person or the elder within you. So we always end that practice with this idea of pulling on your beard or pulling on your braids. So imagine when you exhale and go through your spine that you actually go through your spine in the same way, but your perception is about becoming your inner elder. Not just having a good posture, not just looking over a fence, but actually coming into being with the patience and inner agility and knowingness of an elder. So let's play with that in more detail. So get into your posture, get into your space in your day. Excuse me. So let's inhale and just focus on softening the whole body and feeling like kelp. And then as we exhale, we're going to focus on feeling more like that upright spine, but with the patience of an elder. As we inhale, we're doing the elevator down. So inhale, sunlight, eyes, face, heart, gut, soft spine, soft tail. Exhale, reaching from the tail through the spine, feeling the gut and heart and face, and then the eyes, almost as if light is coming through your eyes. So it's a little game with light. So we'll just keep doing that. Inhale. Just feel the whole body opening up, softening, receiving. Exhale, becoming very present, very aware of how we feel intuition, and then very aware of how we actually enter a room. Excuse me. Okay. So we're going to play with the kelp a little bit. And this is very experiential, but a little bit weird. If you're remembering how to do the wave hands practice, or you want to stand up and kind of do some free form dancing, good idea. No one else can see you. Everyone can watch me. So I have to be shy in my little chair. I'm going to stick with sitting here just because it helps me keep all my little details in order. But I do want to feel the feeling of being kelp in the ocean when the tide is just the thing that moves me. And because this is a, I don't know, slightly shamanic thing to do, the ocean can come from any direction at any given time. So it doesn't just want to be like this, although that might be a nice warm-up. At a certain point, you just want to allow it to be kind of random chaos waves. Now, keep breathing. Keep your attention on staying very present to your experience. And at the same time, allow yourself to have a shift in perception that the ocean is now made of wine. So now, like drunken style kung fu, you have permission to be kind of goofier, like, haha. And although we're focusing on sobriety, I get that. This is a different kind of wine in that it gives us permission to be really expressive and really slow and really uninhibited. And play with your whole spine. If you have any stiffness in your back, really spend some time in there, allowing the ocean currents and the floppiness of the wine and what it's doing to you give you permission to be even softer. It's a lot more fun standing up, but I want to stay focused on what we're doing. So another thing that's fun to play with when you're in that experience, and in Qigong practice, usually one out of every three repetitions we do this way, I'm going to ask you to play with another opportunity. So here you are, you're kelp, you live in an ocean of wine, and your life is just being in touch with the flow. Sounds horrible, I know. And you come to the realization at some point, as that little cute little piece of kelp, that you're madly in love with the ocean, and you feel it right now the way you would feel a crush like when you're 14 years old. So take a moment and remember what 14-year-old crushes feel like. And you're still the kelp. You're still in the ocean. It's still wine. But now every movement that you move is a secret caress, a secret embrace, a secret tingle of pleasure, because it's the ocean. And the ocean is very special. So this changes a lot about how we experience the movement. So if you're kelp, the ocean is wine, and everything that happens is now a caress. And you want to play with the shy part of this. That's why it's put together this way. Because you want to feel that shy little hee-hee-hee feeling of having a crush on the ocean, so that as you start to come more full into yourself, that transition is a part of your experience. So, goofy as this is, here you are, kelp in the ocean, all kinds of wobbly, you have a big crush on the ocean, and then, and I like to move my hands around a little bit for this, and then have the experience of recognizing that the ocean is actually in love with you. And now there's a reciprocity of love and passion and intimacy that's moving around every time you breathe and every time you move. And if you can play with that, and every once in a while come back to that inner elder of wisdom and patience and knowingness, and then sink back into the kelp and the love and the ocean, you will have a very dynamic practice. And in fact, that's what I would consider what Qigong is like after about 10 years, because every movement is a love affair. Every postural adjustment is a deeper connection with flow and connection. So just wanted to put that out there, so that now as you're breathing in, you have a very, very established, thorough place to imagine your yin experience, the more receptive experience, as you draw in. And as you draw out, you don't need to be rigid, but you can feel that responsiveness of an elder and the stillness and the wisdom and the patience to also, I don't know, maybe that would be like being a rock in the ocean. You know, you can watch the kelpie dance and go, this is good. Anyway. So just to have more things to play with our neuroplasticity and our morning ritual. So next thing, very quickly, is to just recognize that intimacy is maybe not exactly what we think. The only one way to do this really fast, and I apologize, it's got to be fast. Imagine that you and a new lover are getting to know each other, and it's all fresh and new and exciting. And for whatever reason, because it's new and exciting, you choose to be very uninhibited. And the classic example is you and your new partner are in a hallway and you're playing around, and then you decide to get pushy and push them up against the wall and get a bit more pushy, or what might be considered rough. And this is just an example, so just hold on. The point of that imagery is that intimacy for most people isn't just about safety and trust and you know, someone you could tell your secrets to. Intimacy is knowing that you can be completely uninhibited with yourself as yourself with them. So when we get into the idea of our deeper Qigong practice, our deeper self-awareness, pulling the lid off our Oscar, and things like that, what we're really hoping to do is spontaneously become more true to ourselves, which is kind of like an intimate encounter when you just go with instinct. So when we get into this morning ritual transformational opportunity with neuroplasticity and changing how every day can go, that's an invitation to intimacy. I'm just encouraging anyone to take it as far as you can that way by trusting your deepest intuitions and impulses. And of course, 25% of our impulses are going to get us into trouble, but you don't learn by doing it right. So have fun with all that. Keep in mind that this kind of practice with the kelp and the elder and the intimacy is a way to deepen your practice with the river of the past, with the ocean of truth, with the valley of life, because now we're doing it with a kind of permission to go as far as we need to and to be as playful as we need to and uninhibited or spiritually drunk as we need to be, and as passionately in love with the energy of life, the aliveness of life, to see where it really wants to take us. Otherwise, we're just robots. Oh, I said that out loud, sorry. Okay, so a couple of last tiny little things before we are done. If we decide to go deep into the breathing muscles, which we'll get into again on Monday, keep in mind that we're now playing with front, middle, and back for the perineal floor. We're reaching forward and around the body on the inhale, and then we're using the whole exhale like a ring to compress the whole abdomen, kind of like someone's tightening a belt. So we really want to have that experience, and we also want to feel that as we inhale, we rock backwards like we're slouching a little bit, and as we exhale, we're sitting up like a dog who heard the fridge door open. What's that? But your tail has to be part dog too. It's not just up, it's down. So the thing that I was hoping to get into very subtly and gently today is a chance to play with your narrative and the way that your mind actually carries you around. And one of the best skills you can have for getting to know how you operate are guided journeys, where you allow yourself to be intuitive throughout a kind of a storytelling process. So I'm going to bring us to an opportunity with that, and then we'll leave it until Monday so that you can sit and kind of dream on it a bit. So hopefully you have some new things to play with the breath, with your posture. You have hopefully a deep sense of intimacy and affection, or at least you're curious. You have the wisdom of an elder and the patience, at least as a place to play. Because the next thing is to ask yourself, can you sit with your two spirit twins, your heart times twin and your better times twin, and feel everything that you feel and find deep, profound compassion for everything that arises within you as you feel yourself between those two versions of yourself. And the compassion, the question really is can you have compassion for all of yourselves and all of the things that you do, you would say, in between your good and bad? As you check in with your twins and look at how your life may have gone if it had gone, in your mind, badly, and as you see yourself 10 years in the future having done whatever it is that you need to do to become that expression of yourself, given that you're actually, we're always both, well, all of us, between those two, how do you feel in your body? Do you feel more certain, more ashamed, more inspired, more defeated? And begin with that. And find that there's a strategy in being real between those things. So this is just going to take a couple of more minutes. So if you recall, I introduced a journeying practice that we call Apocalypse Road, where You're looking for the eye of your hurricane, but you're in the hurricane. And the weather's really bad, and it's coming right at you, and there's proverbial road signs and cows flying at your head. And you may have to lean into the wind. You may have to crawl on the ground to get where you're going. And that, of course, is meant to be a somatic and imagined environment that just has to do with stress and pressure and just modern life, but really intense. So we're also going to want to begin becoming a bit playful with something called shape-shifting. And part of that is imitating going from light pole to light pole on Apocalypse Road as an actual physical experience. Part of it is also going to be going from who you are right now to your hard times twin, to who you are now, to your better times twin, to who you are now. And again, those two are never allowed to talk to each other. So if you're on Apocalypse Road and you're crawling along or doing your best to get towards the eye of your hurricane, look to your left and there's your hard times twin right beside you. Shapeshift to their experience. What would it be like for you to walk down Apocalypse Road as the person you would have been if for 10 years you had just gone so much deeper into self-loathing and self-destruction and, you know, all the disorientations that we do? And I'm not saying that from judgment. I've done my decade there. So, but if you can shapeshift into the emotional mind, the sort of the somatic experience and perception of your hard times twin in the most challenging day-to-day environment you can imagine, you're going to learn a lot from that. And then you can shapeshift back to yourself and really get a sense of what has changed, what you've learned, what it is you might want to guide your hard times twin towards because of the difference. And then when you look at your good, better times twin, you can shapeshift into them. And for whatever reason, just feel how it is they orientate themselves to this Apocalypse Road. You know, and maybe it's a little different, maybe it's a lot. But that's going to give you some inspiration on how to resource into yourself as you crawl along your particular version of Apocalypse Road. So we're going to come back to this a couple of more times, but at the kind of fork in the road with Apocalypse Road, there's a cave. And the cave is a place for you and your hard times twin to do some really deep kind of karmic reorientation. And over here is a cliff, and the cliff is a place for you and your better times twin to get ready to leap. So play with the imagined walking down Apocalypse Road and play with the shapeshift into your hard times twin and back to you, better times twin and back to you, and see if you're just noticing anything, but especially if you're noticing a theme. And on Monday, after we learn a couple of new things, we're going to spend some time in the cave with our hard times twin. And then on Tuesday, we're going to spend some time at the cliff with your better times twin. But we want to do something specific tomorrow on Sunday, and then something else very wacky on Monday first. So tomorrow night mostly is going to be a review and a Q&A. So I'm going to go through mostly the strategies we've learned and kind of why they are set up that way. And I'm also going to talk about what this big project is and why I'm spending this time every day doing this for free for the hell of it. And I also want to do some Q&A just to make sure that there's a chance to check in with each of you, because there's about 100 people that are doing this kind of at a distance, and then there's about 10 people who are doing this pretty much live every day, which is awesome. I just want to make sure we can check in with everybody. So if you're going to be on the call tomorrow night at 6 p.m., I'd be grateful to check in with you then. If not, before now and then, send me a little message or something so I can speak to your experience and concerns, so we can all feel like, before we dive into the last couple of weeks, which are going to be kooky, we're all kind of in the same place and on the same bus and ready to drive off that particular cliff. So anyway, happy Saturday. I hope you have a great weekend. For some of you, I'll see you tomorrow night. And I really hope this is doing as much for you as it is for me, because I had no idea that diving this deep again would be so amazing. So this has been life-changing for a whole bunch of people, and it really is for me. So I'm really hoping you're noticing some new tools and some new places in yourself. So again, have a great day, and thank you so much for participating in this crazy adventure. Blessings.